Good morning. Today's daf and yavamas yud dalet one yud gimel amud beis. We're starting with the Gemara. We went through the Mishnah yesterday. Mishnah introduced us to the vav chamuras. There are six women who are more chamur than the ones that are presented on the first Mishnah on daf beis. We say more chamur, as we explained yesterday. We don't mean more chamur. The Mishnah does not mean that they're more chamur. They're just or the collection of all 21 are all arayos. They are isuri kares. And so to say that they're more chamur is somewhat misleading. But the Mishnah is not meant to mislead us. The Mishnah just simply means, as Rashi explained yesterday, that the more chamur in the sense that you're never going to come onto a situation of yibum with these six. Why? Because yibum can only be done by brothers. Yibum can only be done by paternal brothers. And the arayos that we mentioned, the Mishnah yesterday, so by definition, are all going to be sharing. All the brothers are going to be sharing this particular erva. So for as a simple example, in yesterday's Mishnah, so one of the six is Eishes Av, your father's wife. Now, it could be your mother, couldn't be your mother, doesn't matter. In other words, if your paternal brothers and your father has a wife, so she's equally usher to all the brothers. So obviously, there's never going to be a circumstance where one of the brothers is going to marry her. So therefore, there's never going to be a makom mitzvah. And because there's never going to be a makom mitzvah, so they are more chamer than the ones mentioned on the 15th. Of the 15 that are mentioned in the first Mishnah. In the 15 mentioned in the first Mishnah. So it can be that she's an erva to you, but she's not going to be an erva to any one of the other brothers. How could that be? So go back to the first Mishnah. Review the first Mishnah. You're going to see every one of the 15, it's possible that the erva will be married to your brother legally and not married to you. And then, of course, the question becomes what happens then when she falls to you for Yibum. So now you have an erva being presented to you for Yibum. What do you do? Good. So that's the first 2 weeks of the Masechta. We discussed it. In yesterday's daf, now with the second Mishnah of the Perek, so we introduced, so what about these six? So with these six, there's never going to be a Yibum opportunity. So under those circumstances, so what do we say? So we say that because there's never going to be a Yibum opportunity. So on one hand, obviously, there's no mitzvah. On the other hand, the tzara of such a woman, the co-wife of such a woman, is always going to be permitted. Because when we say tzara serva is going to be also, that's been makam yibum. But if it's not makam yibum, tzara serva is going to be mutter. Okay. That's a quick recap of what we discussed yesterday. What we also discussed yesterday in the Mishnah is something which is fundamental, and that is a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And a really profound machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that has unbelievable consequences, which is that according to Shitas Beis Shammai, Tzaras Ervas Mutter, or Muteris. Tzaras Ervas Muteris, so the co-wife of an Erva would be Mutter. Didn't we say for the last 2 weeks since the beginning of the Masechta that Tzaras Ervas Aser, she's an Erva, meaning it's an Isser Kares. So good, that's the Shita Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai disagrees. The reasons which we're going to start off this morning. In other words, what's the reason behind Beis Shammai? We're going to get to that. That's coming up this morning. But meanwhile, Tzaras Erva is going to be Muteris, which now, that's fundamental. Meaning, from a perspective of Beis Hillel, that particular woman is now going to be Nisar Kares. According to Beis Shammai, Mama, she's Muteris. We are at a wide swing over here between either she's mutter or she's usher with an Issar Kares. That's amazing. Meanwhile, it's amazing. That's a machlok between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So then how are the two families going to marry into one another? So they will. The Mishnah says they will, right? Despite the fact that there's such a wide stance between the two of them. Nevertheless, they're going to marry between each other. Yesterday, I went through the Rashi. Rashi said that they're going to only marry into one another only with communication, meaning that if from the perspective of one, she's usher, so that has to be communicated to the other families in order so that they don't violate Isurim. So it only works with communication, but still, in other words, there was communication and there was unity, despite the fact that there was a divergence of positions. That's a tough tightrope to walk, but they walk that tightrope. And the Mishnah praises that position. Okay, that was all just a quick recap of what we saw yesterday. And so today, the Gemara's discussion over here, very simple. What's the basis for Beis Shammai? Why, according to Beis Shammai, are the Tzaras Erva going to be Mutter? Meaning for Beis Hillel, what did we have? We had Drashas. That Tzaras Erva is going to be Aser. Now, I say Drashas, knowing full well that in yesterday's daf, we learned that either it's a Drasha or it's a Svara. Okay, you could say it in one of two ways. In fact, in yesterday's daf, on Daf Yud Gimel, the Gemara said it in one of two ways. But today, we are going to now go over Beis Shammai. Shitas Beis Shammai. We don't possibly like Beis Shammai. So, but every moment that we learn what is behind the principle of Beis Shammai, that's a key of Talmud Torah. despite the fact that it's not the accepted halacha. We just learned earlier in our Masechta that Beit Shammai b'makom Mishnah ain't a Mishnah, meaning it's totally disregarded. But when we say disregarded, by the way, there's disregarded, there's disregarded. Disregarded legabe halacha, yes. Disregarded as part of the corpus of Torah, no. Meaning, and for every moment that we're going to be learning right now, what's behind the Shita Beit Shammai, so that's a kiyum of Tam Torah. Okay, good. So, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. So we're on your Gimel Amud Beis. We're starting immediately after the Mishnah. It's about 10 lines from the top. So just in terms of where we are in the daf, we fell a little bit behind. But Baruch Hashem, yesterday we did a lot of good catching up. And so obviously today, interested in catching up even more to the point where we keep up every daf with the daf that we're supposed to be doing. So what is behind the Shita Reb Shimon ben Pazi, my time at the Beit Shammai, Dichsev lo siye, Eishes ames achutza liishar. So we quote the pasuk, a pasuk from the Parsha of Yevamos, the Parsha is Kiseitze. The mitzvah of Yibam is found in that Parsha. Anyway, so we have the word chutza. Now, again, the simple pshat of the pasuk is that once she is connected to her Yavam, i.e., her husband died and she has a surviving brother and they have no children, is otherwise known as a Zika. So under those circumstances, she can't be outside, meaning she can't marry anyone else right now, either Yibam or Chalitza. And then afterwards, well, if Yibam is done, obviously she's married. And if Chalitza is done, then and only then can she marry somebody else. That's a simple pshat in the pasuk. But now we're going to go beyond the simple pshat in the pasuk. So chutza mechlal dika panimis. So chutza now is going to be a description of her, meaning she's a chutza, which means that there is a chutza and there is also a panimis, an insider and an outsider. And she can't be married to you, but the tzara can. So that means to say that there is a chutzah and there's a panimis, and the one who is an outsider, so she can't be married to you, but the panimis, in this context we're going to understand, as a co-wife of such a woman, so she can be. That's the drasha for Beit Shammai. Now, as far as Beis Ol is concerned, he's looking at the very same pasuk, but arriving at a different conclusion from that pasuk. There's no tefisas kedushin. Shenamar lo siyeh shos amesa chutzal ishar. So lo siyeh ba havaya lizar. Lo siyeh comes from the word havaya. Havaya in the context of marriage always is a description of kedushin, and that means that there's no tefisas kedushin. Now, for a moment, let's just spend time discussing this. There's not going to be tefisas kedushin. That's a chiddush. Why? Because right now, vis-a-vis any other man, meaning during her period of being of having a zika, so what exactly is a prohibition to any other man? Is she an issacharis to any other man? The answer, of course, is no. She's not an issacharis to any other man. Meaning this is not listed in the parsha of Arias. She's not an issacharis to any other man. It would be a lav. It's a negative prohibition for her to be with another man during her period of zika. So one could argue really easily that if she accepts kedushin from any other man, shouldn't have done it, but the kedushin is going to be tofes. What we're learning together now is novel. It's a chiddush in that it's only a lav, and yet there's not going to be tefisas kedushin. Well, how do we say that over here? Because we have a drasha. So the Gemara says, "Ubei Shammai miksiv lachutz chutzaksiv." So as far as Beit Shammai is concerned, so Beit Shammai says, "Wait 1 second. It doesn't say the word lachutz. It says chutza." And so therefore that allows for Beit Shammai to give his drasha. So the Gemara says, "Ubei Silo came and dechsiv chutza. Come on, dechsiv lachutz." And Beis Hillel now is going to turn to a point of grammar where we learned it at a young age, the royal we. So the dechsiv lachutz dami detanya Reb Nechemia Omer. Okay, so this is something that's taught in elementary school. And meanwhile, it's a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Yud Gimel, and that is called Teva Shitzricha Lame Betchilasa Hitel Lahakasuv Hey Besofa. So any word that needs a lam in the front. So what you could do is you could put a hay at the end of the word, and that would substitute for the lamed. The tanda be Rav Yishmael could go in eli melima machanayim machanayim mitzrayim mitzrayim divla saima yushalayima midbara. Okay, and v'chule v'chule. Gemara gives a half a dozen examples of this. Anyway, good. So it's a point of dicta. So now for Beis Hillel, the pasuk doesn't say the word lachutz. The Gemara says, yeah, it does. In other words, it says chutzah with the hay, and that substitutes for the lamed. Okay, good. Okay, so where do we stand right now? There's not going to be tefisas kedushin by Yevam Lashuk. Okay, Yevam Lashuk is an isser. And there's not going to be Tfilas Kedushin. And how do we know that? So we learn it from Rav Yehuda Merav. But that's how Beis Hillel learns it. Now, what if you're Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai agrees with the halacha, but the drasha he uses for something else. So this is a Gemara back and forth, a classic. So Beis Shammai, the Rav Yehuda Merav Menalahu. So where does he generate this halacha from? Mele Ish Zar Nafka. He learns it from Ishar, meaning she cannot be to an outsider. And that means to say, in the word Ish over here, as a derivative of the word Ishos, meaning there cannot be marriage with another man. It simply won't take. So the Gemara says, now you know what? That's a really good point. Meaning, so this really can be the source of the halacha of Rav Yehuda Merav. Notably, that there is no Tfisas Kedushin as it relates to a Yevam Lashuk. So the Gemara says, you know what? The point is well taken. So Chutz Alam Ali. Okay, so now that we are all in agreement, meaning Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree to this halacha, that there's no Tfisas Kedushin to the Yevama. And on top of that, where did they learn it from? Everyone now is in agreement. We learn it from the word Ishar. So what do we do with the word Chutzah? Now, according to Beis Shammai, we know what we do with it. We darshan the halacha that Tzara Zerva is going to be mutter. But what if you are Beis Hillel? So Lamali L'Rabbas Arusa. So that means to say, what he learns out from the word Losia is that he learns out that the mitzvah of Yibum will be generated even if it was just Erisin. Meaning when I say it, I'm talking about her original marriage. Meaning her original marriage to the man was not Kedushin and Nisuin. It was just Kedushin. So now one could have thought that, okay, Rachmanis, her husband, died and they only went through the first stage of marriage. They didn't go through both stages of marriage. So you could have made the argument that there's no mitzvah Yibum. So what we're learning together is no. We're learning together that even though they only married through Kedushin and they didn't get to the second stage of marriage, yet, Rachmanis, if her husband died, so there's going to be a mitzvah Yibum. V'idach michutza hachutza. Now, as far as Beis Shammai is concerned, so that's going to be generated from chutza hachutza, the extra hay. V'idach chutza hachutza lo mashma lehu. And Beis Hillel will say, no, that extra hay is not primed for a drasha. The extra hay is just an extra hay. Okay, good. Ad kan. Takes us now to the end of round one. Question on the table. Beis Shammai says that Tzara Zerva is mutter. How does he know this? Where is he generating this from? So answer number one of today's daf, Rabbi Shimon ben Pasi, it's a drasha. Simple. It's a drasha. Rava says no. Rava says that the reason behind Beis Shammai is not a drasha, but rather it's a svara. Tamai de Beis Shammai de Nisr Chalal Isser. So the reason behind Beis Shammai is a Nisr Chalal Isser. Now, the Gemara is going to continue, and the continuation of the Gemara is going to be complicated. And it's going to require a little bit of brain power. But before we get to the complicated brain power portion of today's daf, so just let's say kipshuto. And what I'm doing right now, I'm just presenting Rashi. I'm not doing anything fancy over here. And we're going to say kipshuto. And that is, what's the simple point of the Gemara over here? Consider the following. Consider that your daughter just came in front of you for the mitzvah of Yibum. Your brother married your daughter, and he died. And now your daughter comes to you for the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, so how many Isurim is your daughter right now? So before she was married to your brother, she was your daughter, by definition. Right. Okay, so now that means that vis-a-vis, as far as your daughter is concerned, so she's already an Erva. Now, what are we doing over here by saying that she was married to your brother? We're compounding an Isur. This is what's called an Isur overlaying, over superimposing on top of another Isur. What do we generally say? Ein Isur Chalal Isur. It doesn't superimpose. So if it doesn't superimpose, now what does that mean? It means that what do we say regarding the Isser of Eishes Ach? Not there. Right? And I know that even as I'm saying it, as simply as I'm saying it, I know that's already a lot to process. It's not there. The Isser of Eishes Ach is not there because she already has the Isser of Bito. So since we say Ein Isser Chalal Isser, so now when do we say that Tzara Zerva is going to be an issue? Tzara Zerva is going to be an issue when? When the second Isser doesn't superimpose. And if the second Isser doesn't superimpose, that means there's no Isser Veshetzach, which means effectively that there's no mitzvah Yibum. If there's no mitzvah Yibum, Tzaris Erva is going to be also when there's no mitzvah Yibum? No. Tzaris Erva is going to be mutter when there's no Isser Yibum. That's going to be the svara that is behind the Shita of Beis Shammai. But the Gemara says, okay, all that's well and good, but now let's complicate it just a little bit more. Okay, so in this complicated scenario that we're going to be discussing, so we're going to go to our classic construct of two brothers marrying two sisters. Okay, follow. Two brothers married two sisters, and one of them is going to die, meaning because in this construct, obviously, we're going to create a Yibum situation. which means that one of the brothers are going to die. So over here, when two brothers marry two sisters, so vis-a-vis the Yavam to his sister-in-law now, so she's going to be also two times over. One, she was her brother's wife. Two, she's also his wife's sister. Those are two separate arayos. Okay, which came first? Can happen in one of two ways. In other words, for if he were to marry first his wife, so from the Yavam's perspective, first the Isra of Achos Isha, then the Isra of Eshesach. If his brother married first, first it's the Isra of Eshesach, then it's the Isra of Achos Isha. So now, seemingly, it's going to make a difference, right? Which one got married first? That's the Gemara's point. Tainach, we now turn to the Gemara. Tainach, Echad Anasa Meis V'Achakach Anasa Chai, Lo Asi Isra Achos Isha, V'Chayel Isra Eshesach. So the Gemara says, okay, so certainly I can understand and conceive that in a circumstance where first he married, and when I say he, by the way, it's not a good way to describe the Gemara because that's a pronoun, and there are two men in discussion over here. So the deceased brother gets married first. I say deceased meaning he will die. So the deceased brother gets married first, and then afterwards the Yavam, the surviving brother, gets married. So now what is the relationship or the Isurim from the Yavam to the Yavama? So it's going to be first Eshesach, then it's going to be Achos Isha. So the Gemara says, so fine. So under those circumstances, now I understand. Because when from a perspective of Ein Isser Chalal Isser, so we're looking only at one Isser, notably the Isser of Eshesach. And then I can understand how now, as far as the Tzara of an Erva, well, Eshesach can be ignored. How can you ignore it? Because the mitzvah of Yibam is going to override the Isser of Eshesach. Okay, fine. And that's why the Tzara is going to be Mutter. That's fine. But the Gemara says, but consider the following. What if he got married first? The Yavam got married first. So if he got married first, so first that introduces the Yisra of Achos Ishto. And then when his brother gets married, it's the Yisra of Eshesach. Oh, so now what is he looking at vis-a-vis this woman? What he's looking at over here is only the Yisra of Achos Ishto. So then isn't that going to be Tzara Serva? And isn't that now going to be a problem? So the Gemara says, no. So the Gemara over here introduces us to the following idea. If the Erva is only Achos Ishto, which by definition is going to preclude the Isra of Eshesach, what does that mean? It means now that there's no mitzvah. Because what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to marry your brother's wife. Now, true, and I know this part's confusing, and I know this is going to take some time to process. It took me a long time to process, and I'm still processing it. So even though she was, of course, your brother's wife, but halachically, to you, she wasn't. Since you married first, so this woman now is Achos Ishto, and since we invoked the rule of Ein Isser Chalal Isser, so that means vis-a-vis you, there's no Eshesach. If there's no Eshesach, there's no mitzvah. Now, if there's no mitzvah, so what is the co-wife of such a woman? The co-wife of such a woman is a tzaras erva shelo b'makom mitzvah, and therefore she's going to be permitted. Okay. Now, I said it really quickly, and I think I said it clearly, but I said it really quickly, and it's okay. You want to pause? You want to think about it? Now we can't. But if you're listening to me on the recording, so you can pause and think about it more. But anyway, that's the svar behind the shita of Beis Shammai. So in summary, the Gemara's question: tzaras erva according to Beis Shammai's mutter. How do we know that? So one of two pathways. One is that it's a drasha, that was Rav Shimon ben Pazi. And number two, it's a svara and the svara of Rava. And then what the Gemara does not tell us is, what's the counter? Meaning, obviously, Beis Hillel doesn't agree. Now, we know what the counter is regarding the drasha, because the Gemara did that for us. The Gemara went through the back and forth of what is Beis Hillel going to do with the drasha, Beis Shammai. What is Beis Hillel going to do with the svaras of Ein Isser Chalal Isser? The Gemara leaves that up for homework. In other words, that the Gemara does not discuss. The Rishonim discuss it. Discussed amongst the Achronim. Good. We continue in the Gemara. So, Chaltz Beis Shammai Poslin. So now, you go to this woman now and you do Chalitza to such a woman, meaning the co-wife of the co-wife. So what now becomes of such a woman? So Beis Shammai Poslin Kahuna. So according to Beis Shammai, so she's now going to be Pasul Kahuna. Otherwise stated, and that, as far as the Tzaras Erva is concerned, she's Muteris, which means now, she's Materis as a mitzvah of Yibun. If you do Chalitza to her, so that Chalitza now is called Chalitza, meaning it's required, and therefore she's going to be labeled, she will have the status of being a chalutza, which means that she can't marry a kohen. Now, what if your beis hillel, tzaras erva, is pater? Pater mean that there's no yibam, there's no chalitza. And according to beis hillel, if I do chalitza to the co-wife, so what is that? Nothing. Meaning, it's an action, but it doesn't confer on her any kind of status. So what's the Gemara's comment over here? Pshita. So the Gemara says it's obvious. Now, it's funny. Obvious, meaning it takes some thinking to think about it. But the point of the Gemara is that once you know the rules, we could figure out, this is just an application, and we could figure it out. So the Gemara says, so why does the Mishnah need to tell us this? So La Fuka de Rav Yochanan Nuridam Rabo Benitkin Lam Latsarshi Uchotzos Vala Misyavnos Kamashwan de Beisol Machshirin. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what it's going to do. It's going to preclude us from the following. There's a shita coming up of Rav Yochanan Menuri. Actually, comes up at the end of today's daf, but I know that we're not going to get there. But the Rav Yochanan Menuri says that let's just institute chalitza all around. And that way, in doing so, so we'll create a more perfect union, if you will. In other words, it'll be a compromise of the shitas of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. This is what Rav Yochanan Menuri wanted to impose. And what our Mishnah is telling us is, whoever the author of the Mishnah is, meaning we know who put the Mishnahs together, but whoever is responsible for this particular Mishnah is not on board with that. Meaning the author of our Mishnah is of the position that if you're Beis Shammai, Chalitza is required. And if you're Beis Hillel, Chalitza is not required, period. And none of this compromise of let everyone do Chalitza. Okay. And we'll talk more about that in tomorrow's daf, regarding what Rabbi Yeshua wanted to try to do in terms of compromise and why it's a controversial position. Nisyavnu beisel posen asulam ali. So I did the tana chalz, the tana nam nisyavnu. Okay, and the next part of the Mishnah also is really straightforward and really it's just an application. Meaning, and what if I did yibum to this woman? So again, if you're Beis Shammai, that's a woman that you should be doing yibum with, and if it's Beis Hillel, it's a woman that you should not be doing yibum with. And as a result of that, according to Beis Hillel, the man who has relations with her now makes her a zona. Okay, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so the Gemara says, it's an application, but we would have figured it out. The Gemara says, you're right. But stylistically, the Mishnah, once we're talking about Chalitza, so we're also going to talk about Yibam as well. Okay, good. Tanan Hasam. Okay, so we learn a Mishnah. Megillah. First Mishnah in Masechta Megillah. Okay, what is happening right now? So we are going to be starting right now at this point in time, one of the most classic discussions in all of Gemara and all of Shas, and that is that Los is go to do. So what we should not do is that we should not create various versions of Yiddishkeit. There should be one version of Yiddishkeit. Okay. I know it's funny, by the way, because you know what happened to the Jewish people? Okay. But even though there are versions, the differences are, you know, they're not, they don't define us, and there are differences. Okay, anyway. Let's deal with from the Gemara's perspective, because it's a much, much easier way to deal with it, and that is that we have an issue in the Torah, and that is that one is not allowed to make factions amongst the Jewish people. There should be a unified Jewish people. Why? We'll get to that in just a moment. But this is the issue of Los is go to do. And it's coming up in today's daf, and this is one of the most classic, and, you know, every discussion, every daf is important. So it's going to say it's really important. Every daf is important. It's just that over here, this has obviously real world ramifications, right? You go to Shul and Chol HaMoed. So some people are putting on tefillin, some people are not putting on tefillin. Okay, not a new problem. It's an old problem. Okay, it's a problem. Okay, I understand it's a problem where, you know, most of us don't have great solutions, but certainly a problem. So today we're going to focus on the problem. Okay, in another venue, and not me being the moderator, work on solutions. But we're going to become more informed after today's daf. We start with the Mishnah Megillah, Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah Megillah. Megillah Nikris Ba'acharos Sefer Shnei Masefer Shoshar Sefer Abar Sefer Chamisha Asar Lo Pachas V'Lo Yoser. So there are options in when you can read the Megillah. You can read the Megillah anywhere within the range of the 11th day of Adar to the 15th day of Adar, not earlier, not any later. Okay, and I'm not going to go through the Mishnah right now. But that's the Mishnah. So Amalei Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan Nikrei Kan Losis Godudu Losasu Agudos Agudos. So Reish Lakish turns to Rav Yochanan and says, you know, that first Mishnah Megillah is really strange because we know there's an issue in the Torah that we're not allowed to make groups of Jewish people. Groups of Jewish people observing different practices. And so what's going on in the first Mishnah Megillah? Now, hopefully you're wondering at this point in time, what does that Mishnah Megillah have anything to do with our discussion over here? So that is a great question, and the answer will become obvious in just a moment. But anyways, first the Gemara wants to know, You know, you've been quoting that pasuk a lot, Lo Tisgo Dedu, Parshas Re'eh. And meanwhile, what does that have to do with making groups? So, Hai Lo Tisgo Dedu Mibai Lelugufe, Dam Rechmana Lo Sasu Chabura Ameis. If you look at the pasuk in context, that pasuk has nothing to do with making different groups, differing groups of the Jewish people. The pasuk is talking about how to properly mourn and how not to properly mourn over the over somebody who died. So, in other words, grieving is important, but there gets a point in time where it's inappropriate. But it's more than inappropriate; it's also so to make any kind of ceration on your body as a sign of mourning and grieving. That's an issur in the Torah. That's what the Torah is talking about. So im kein lemakra lo tigo didu. My tisgo didu shmamina lahachiyuda asa. So the Gemara says if the Torah would have said tagodu, so that grammatically means better to make cuts in your body. But over here, the phrase of the Torah is lo sisgo didu. So veimakula hachiyuda asa. So the Gemara says okay. So if you're telling me that the construct of the word is really speaks more to this idea of not making groups, how do I know that it has anything to do with making serrations on your body? So im kein lemakra lo tagodu. My lus is go didu shmamina tarte. Okay, so from the fact that we have the additional tuf and the additional dalid, so that allows for both drushas. The drusha of not to make cuts and serrations on your body, and number two, not to make different groups of Jewish people. So amrle. Okay, so we first had to establish that there's an isser. Now that we know there's an Isser, so we go back to the first Mishnah in Megillah, and what's going on over here? How can you have a group of Jews reading the Megillah on the 14th, and another group of Jews reading the Megillah on the 15th? How could that be? And we'll also add that there are also other smaller groups of Jewish people who are reading the Megillah on the 11th, on the 12th, and the 13th. If you know the first Mishnah in Megillah, so you understand who's doing it and when they're doing it, and why they're doing it. But right now, for our purposes, it's important to know, but just for now, suffice to say that that's groups of people employing the Torah on what seems to be different days, different groups of Jewish people. Amrle ad kan lo shenita makom shenagu lasos malach barvei pesach merchatzos osin makom shenagu shalal lasos ein osin. So he says, okay, you know a Mishnah Megillah? How about this? I got a Mishnah Pesachim. Right, this is the beginning of the fourth parak of Pesachim. So in the fourth parak of Pesachim, so minhagim. Right? All the menhagim, which is not true. There are a lot of menhagim. But many of the menhagim that practice in the time of the Gemara are all collected and put together in the fourth parak of Pesachim. Why? So it happens to be that the Mishnah over there describes a minhag. Some people work on Erev Pesach, some people don't. To clarify, after Chatzos, it's not a minhag. There's an Isser not to work after Chatzos on Erev Pesach. But in the morning, so they're menhagim. Some do and some don't. So Amar Lay, so fine. So you quote a Mishnah Megillah, I'll quote a Mishnah Pesachim. It's not an answer to the question. It's just simply, you will talk about different practices. Okay. So clearly, there must be some sort of level of acceptance of differing practices as the Mishnah Pesachim tells us. Some people work, some people don't work on the morning of Erev Pesach. Amar Lay, Amin Alachana, Yisura, Damar Hashem, Rab, Amar Rav Yochanan, Lekayim, Esimei Apurim, Bezmanehem. So he says, well, you know what? My Mishnah Megillah is much better than your Mishnah Pesachim. Because the Mishnah Megillah is talking about Isser. Meaning, if you are living in an unwalled city, you don't have an option. You are legislated to read on the 14th. And you can't read on the 15th. Conversely, if you live in a walled city, you are legislated to read on the 15th. You can't read on the 14th. So I'm talking about legislated factionalism. And you're just sharing with me a Mishnah Pesachim that talks about working and not working? That's minhagim. Ve'at amart li minhaga? That's just a question of what is the prevailing custom. Ve'hasam lavi surah havya v'atana. The Gemara says, now wait 1 second. That Mishnah Pesachim is not talking about Isser. Look at the Mishnah over there. And the Gemara quotes on the Mishnah over there. So, ha'layla ba'layla be'shami osrim be'salam matirim. What about the night prior? So the night prior, meaning, so we're talking about when we are doing Bedikas Chametz, the night of the 14th. So am I allowed to do Malacha then? Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But look at the wording of that Mishnah. Beis Shammai says it's Aser. Beis Hillel says it's Mutter. So Amar Lei Hasa Mara, Omar Malacha Hu Delei Slei. So the Gemara says, yeah, but over there, let's say you're not working. So if you're not working, so what does that? Does that mean that you are You are practicing an Isser if you're not working? No. People will just simply say, he just simply is right now currently unemployed. And considering the fact that it's the nighttime anyway, most people anyway are not working during the nighttime. Okay, anyway. What comes out over here is the following. So we have now introduced ourselves to the Isser of Lo Sitz Godedu. This is a question that was posed by Reish Lakish to Rav Yochanan. And with a small interjection of the Gemara in Pesachim in terms of Minhagim, but Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, keep that out of the discussion, because that's just really Minhagim, or other way around. Reish Lakish says it to Rav Yochanan, either way. So, but aside from that, the Mishnah Megillah is telling us that a certain group are legislated to read the Megillah on the 14th, another group are legislated to read it on the 15th. And how does that work when, meanwhile, we have Lo Sitz Godedu? Okay. Let's for a moment discuss why. Why is it that the Jewish people are not allowed to practice to any kind of differing degree? So Rashi over here, I say famously because this is a popular topic and I've heard numerous times many speak about this particular topic. And Rashi over here writes, Rashi writes it a number of times, right? I'll just cite one of the Rashis, but truth of the matter is, I think I counted three times where Rashi writes this. In our sugya, but anyway, look at the first Rashi. Lo sasu agudos agudos, denira kenohagen beis taros. Kishakorin kfarimus and megillah b'yom kenisa, v'ayaros gedolim b'yadalim mukaf m'chom b'tes vav. So it looks like, how many Torahs are there? Meaning there was one Torah given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And that was passed down from generation to generation. Now, if the practices vary, so what you get the impression is that there's not one Torah, but there are multiple Torahs. And as a result of the fact that there are multiple Torahs, it looks like something went wrong with the transmission. Okay. Also, it may be a lack of Kavod HaTorah. Right? I recently listened to someone who tried to make that argument. Could be right. Anyway, regardless, Rashi writes Kipshuto that it's not good because it gives the impression that there are base Torahs. Okay. The Rambam gives a somewhat differing formulation in terms of why Lo Sitz Godedu for today, for the daf. I'm just going to be focusing on Rashi. And that is that it's near a base Torah, so it looks like there are two Torahs, and that's problematic. Okay, so we need a solution. So how is it that there was legislated that the Megillah is going to be read in two different days? And meanwhile, doesn't the Torah prohibit this kind of activity? And how could that be legislated? It's a really strong question. The Gemara is not going to answer the question directly. In fact, it's going to take us now through a long sequence in the Gemara. And obviously, why is the Gemara bringing up all this right now? Meaning, neither the Gemara Megillah, nor the Gemara Pesachim has anything to do with our discussion over here. Okay, so obviously, what I'm doing is setting us up for the next lines of the Gemara. V'ha Beit Shammai. Good. So we find ourselves now on the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. V'ha Beit Shammai. Matir Natsaros Lachem Beis Al Osrim. So wait one second. There cannot be factionalism amongst the Jewish people. So what is going on over here? Look at our Mishnah. There's going to be a group of women where Beit Shammai is going to allow the co-wives to marry, and Beit Hillel will prohibit the co-wives from marrying. And you're telling me that we can't have multiple practices of Yiddishkeit? That could easily go down as a textbook example of multiple practices of Yiddishkeit. That's a problem. Misvara says we're on the top of the Dalamad Aleph. Misvara says Beit Shammai kedivrayim, lo asu Beit Shammai kedivrayim. So the Gemara is going to try to make the following argument, which is that the Machlokus was limited to the Beis Medrash. In the Beis Medrash, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are having an argument. Once they exit the Beis Medrash, so Beit Shammai now will yield to Beit Hillel. Right? The Gemara says, I don't know if you're right about that. So the Rav Yochanan Amar asu v'asu. So Rav Yochanan happens to be of the position that this was not limited to the Beis Medrash. This was a machlokus that was not only debated, but the debate translated into practices. And there were two different practices. That's the Shita Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara points out that Uva Plukta de Rav Shmuel, and this is also I was going to say an older debate. It's not an older debate because Rav Shmuel are contemporaries of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. But the debate took place in Eretz Yisrael. The debate also took place in Bavel as well. Look to the Rav Shmuel, the Rav Amar Lo Asu, Beit Shammai Kedivrayim, Shmuel Amar Asu V'Asu. Okay, so Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not it was limited to the Beis Medrash or it actually played out in the real world. So Amos. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and we're arguing about whether it was put into practice or not put into practice. Gemara says, consider. Elam according Baskol. So the Gemara tells us that there was a Baskol. This is a Gemara in Erevin. Now it happens to be helpful in that the Gemara in Erevin is on Daf Yud Gimel. Over here, as we turn from Yud Gimel to Yadalid, okay, good. So Erevin, Yavamos, Yud Gimel, Yadalid, similar discussions. So Gemara in Erevin tells us that the Baskol comes out and tells us that the Halach is like Beit Hillel. Okay, good. Now, my time, mandamar lo asu. So, if we're talking about prior to the Baskol coming out, so in other words, we're basically looking at two different tkufas, two different periods, time periods, the pre-Baskol and post-Baskol. So if we're talking about pre-Baskol, so that means to say that Beit Shammai was totally entitled to their position. So how could you then make the argument that Beit Shammai's position was only limited to the Beis Medrash? And Valal Acher Baskol, my Tama Demand Amar Asu. And once a Baskol comes out and sides with the Shita Beis Hillel, so how can you then tell me that Beit Shammai maintained their position? So Ibai Sema Kodem Baskol, but Ibai Sema Lacher Baskol. So the Gemara says you can argue each position, whether we're talking about before or after the Baskol. So, if you want to tell me that's before the Baskol, look, who are the majority? The majority were Beis Hillel. So, if you want to take the position that Beis Shammai's position was only the Beis Medrash but not practice, yeah, because Beis Hillel is the majority, and Acharei Rabbim Lahatosim, we follow the majority. And if you want to make the argument that no, it was put into practice, despite the fact that Beit Shammai was a minority, so on the other hand, we say this a number of times throughout Shas, notably this daf, today's daf, and that is Beit Shammai were smarter. Okay, it's hard to gauge who's smarter, but sometimes it's obvious. And the Gemara over here is saying flatly that Beit Shammai were a smarter group. So Beit Hillel were a larger group, but Beit Shammai was a smarter group, and so therefore, yeah, we follow the majority. But do we follow the majority against those who have more chachma? Okay, so that is what the Gemara now is entertaining is that despite the fact that Beit Shammai was a smaller group, but because they were sharper, so therefore we don't follow the majority. Okay, that is all before the Baskol. Now, vi by semalachar Baskol mandamar lo asu adah nafka Baskol umandamar asu Rabbi Yoshua he damar emashkechem beBaskol, and we can even maintain both positions even after the Baskol. If you want to tell me that after the Baskol we're only going to behave like Beis Hillel, for obvious reasons, the Baskol says to behave like Beis Hillel, but you can even maintain that they argued in practice even after the Baskol because there is a sheet of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua says Ein Mashgichim beBaskol. Okay, so where are we right now? So we are in a position where we are debating whether or not Beis Shammai's position was limited to the Beis Medrash or actually put into practice. And if, in fact, it was put into practice, so we have a problem. Because the Torah says, losis go to do, and what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to create different factions of the Jewish people practicing different versions of the Torah. There has to be a unified practice of Yiddishkeit. Otherwise, as Rashi says, it's nirakishtei Torahs. It's going to look like two Torahs. So how can I have now this disagreement between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel spill out into the playing field and now have two different practices? It's a strong question. Okay.
Who should yield?
Let's focus right now, just for now. Let's just focus on the Gemara's question of how does this work with the Isser of Losis go to do, which is exactly the Gemara's question. So here now the Gemara frames the question, and that is, okay, so let's now work with the position of Asu, which again, Rav Yochanan's position is Asu, Shmuel's position is also, so that the positions of Beit Shammai were not limited to the Beis Medrash, but even put into practice, which means now that I had two different groups of Jewish people, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And how can that be? The Torah says, Lo Sis Go to do. And now as you're watching it being put into practice, two different practices, so it looks like we have two Torahs, and that's wrong. You can't do that. How does it work? So the Gemara is going to give two solutions to the problem, Abai and Rava. So what Abaye is going to do, Rav is going to do something similar, but what Abaye is going to do is that he's going to limit the scope of Lo Sisgo to do. Lo Sisgo to do becomes a problem when you have two Bati Dinim in one city. So the two Bati Dinim in one town, so each one of them is going to be taking a different position. But if I have two Bati Dinim in two different cities, so there is no Isser of Lo Sisgo to do. So that is a Baye solution to the problem. Rava says to Abaye, but wait one second. So as far as Beis Shammah and Beis Hillel are concerned, so they are considered like two Bati Dinim in one city. And so your solution of you're limiting the scope, even as you limit the scope, well, Beis Shammah and Beis Hillel are still within your limits, meaning they're considered like two Bati Dinim in one city. And so as much as you did limit the scope, but you didn't solve the problem, because the problem is the Esther of Lo Sisgo to do. And even in your definition, your limited definition, any the practice of Beit Shammah and Beit Hillel are being followed in one city and are going to be a violation of Lo Sisgo to do. So El Amar Rava. So Rava says, okay. So Ki Amar Lo Sisgo to Kugon Beis Din Be'er Achas Plag Modim Kedivrei Beit Shammah Plag Modim Kedivrei Beit Hillel. So what Rava is going to do is he's going to further limit the scope of the machlokas. When do we have a machlokas between, when are we violating Lo Sisgo to do? When I have one Beis Din and the Beis Din is split in half. That's when it's going to be a problem Lo Sisgo to do. Aval shei Bati Dinim Be'er Achas Leisan Ba. But if they're two separate Bati Dinim in one city, Leisan Ba, so there's not going to be a problem of Lo Sisgo to do. Okay. Admittedly, it's a difficult limitation regarding Lo Sisgo to do. Meaning, if the problem of Lo Sisgo to do, as Rashi presents it, is Nirukh Shtei Toros, that the casual observer who's watching, as one group is following the Torah in one way, and another group is following another way, so what Abaye and Rava are both doing is that they're limiting the scope. But, and certainly within Rava, I'm just admitting, it's difficult to understand. Meaning that if I have two Bati Dinim in one town, oh, now it's okay. Really? Meaning, if you're in that city and there are two Bati Dinim and they come to two different conclusions and you're observing it and it's all in one city, so right, it doesn't give off the appearance of Shtei Taros. So it's hard to plug in now that we know the reason behind it. Meaning, as Rashi presents, it's near Shtei Taros. So then, how is Abaye and certainly Rava's limitation? How does that solve for the problem? Okay, I don't have a prepared answer. I apologize for that, but obviously we have to understand the Gemara to the best of our ability. And right now, I'm sharing my own limitations.
You have the same thing with an Erev. Yeah. Fight
something. Right. Anytime there's machlokas, right? It becomes problematic. Tashma, right? Right. You say Erev, I could give you kashrus, meaning. Right. The real world applications of these Gemaras, obviously, we feel them. But okay. Tashma. Bimkamusha Rabbi Lazar, Kortinates and Lassos, Pachamim Bishapas Lassos, Barzel, Bimkamusha Rabbi Yosei Galila, Yochlim Basar Of, Bichalav. Okay. So, a Mishnah, the Mishnah is in Chulin, the Mishnah is also in Shabbos as well. And that is, we'll start with the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Lazar says that not only is Mila Docha Shabbos, but Machshire Mila is Docha Shabbos as well. So to cut the Arlan Shabbos on the eighth day, mitzvah. It's Shabbos, yeah. But the mitzvah of Mila overrides the Shabbos, right? That is the topic of discussion, the 19th parak of Shabbos. Good. That's the conventional approach. Rabbi Lazar takes a somewhat unconventional approach. And he says, not only is the mitzvah of Mila going to be able to override Shabbos, let's say we don't have a knife. Okay, so Rabbi Lazar says, so here's what you do on Shabbos. Cut down that tree. Good, make a fire. Good, take metal. Fantastic, make a knife. You could do all that on Shabbos. Machshire Mila is going to override Shabbos. Now, we don't paskin like Rebbe Lazar. Okay, good. We don't paskin like Rebbe Lazar. But what we're learning together is that in the town of Rebbe Lazar was the head of the basin of the town that he lived in. So in the town of Rebbe Lazar, they put that into practice. Second example, Rav Yossi Aglili. So the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat meat and milk. But the definition of meat is very clear. The definition of meat is red meat. right? What you and I call red meat. Men, there were animals that walk on four legs and nurse their young, right? In fact, you know that because the Torah says, Lo se vashagadi bachalev imo, right? Eats mother's milk, meaning that the Torah is clearly illustrating an example of animals that lactate, okay? So birds, anywhere in the bird kingdom, is there lactation? No, they're not mammals, they're birds. So a bird does not fall under the category of basar. Okay, but what the Chachamim did is that the Chachamim made a gedra, they made a fence for the Torah, so that they included birds within the Isser basar b'chala. Good. So eating milk and chicken is an Isser d'Rabbanan. Fine. Rav Yossi Aglili doesn't agree. Okay? Which opens up a really large question, which is that you can disagree by Isurei d'Rabbanan? Now the answer seemingly is yes. Okay, but Yossi Aglili doesn't agree, and he allows for chicken and milk to be consumed together, cooked together, consumed together. That's the sheet of Rav Yossi Aglili. Again, that's not the halacha. Okay, good, that's not the halacha. But if you lived in Rav Yossi Aglili's town, so you can have a chicken parm. Okay, for those who need further definition, a chicken parm is a chicken parmesan sandwich. Okay, it's chicken and milk. Okay, good. So anyway, so bim kamosha Rabbi Lazar and bim kamosha Rabbi Kiva lo, detanya klala ma Rabbi Kiva kamalacha shef shalasos some erev Shabbos ain dochen es a Shabbos. And meanwhile, this can only be done in the area, in the territory of Rabbi Lazar. In other words, the Gemara is going back to the Mila example, where machshir Mila is going to override Shabbos, but only in the town of Rabbi Lazar, not in the town of Rabbi Kiva. V'hai ma'iti yufta mekamas shani. So the Gemara says, now, wait one second, I'm confused. Are you asking a question? Meaning, the answer is obvious. Meaning, remember, we had a buy in Rava, and they said that if you're in two different locations, it's not a problem. Now again, Rava even gives a further limitation. But even within a buy's limitation, if you're in two different locations, it's fine. It's not a violation of Losa's go to do. So, what are you asking? Meaning, you see the answer right there in front of you. Meaning, in the makom of Rebbe Lazar, they passing like Rebbe Lazar. And in the makom of Rebbe Kiva, they don't passing like Rebbe Lazar. That's fine. Udekarele makarela. And in fact, the Gemara says, I don't even understand. Meaning, you thought you saw the answer right there. Like, what were you even asking me? So, sakadach, amina mishum chomer de Shabbos kemakom echadami. So, kamash malan. Gemara, it's an interesting havamina. You know, when as it relates to Shabbos, Shabbos is so chamor. So, basically, as far as Shabbos is concerned, it should be viewed as one unified territory. In other words, as vis-a-vis Shabbos, there shouldn't even be a consideration of different locations. That's a havamina. Okay, the maskana is no. Tashma de Rabbi Abau ki ikla la asre de Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi have a metal to shraga. So the Gemara says, now, let me share with you Rabbi Abau. As far as Rabbi Abau is concerned, so he went to the town of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And when he went to the town of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, so what did he do is he picked up a lantern. Now, the lantern was not currently lit at the time. The lantern already went out, but but it's muksa, meaning it was lit going into Shabbos, and therefore it's going to be muksa, right? So, right, but it's a machlokas, meaning it's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, whether islay muksa, leislay muksa. Okay, for our purposes right now, all we need to know is it's a machlokas, in terms of whether it's muksa or not. So, as far as Rabbi Abba was concerned, when he went to the town of Rabbi Shimon Levi, so have him a tal toshraki, he would pick it up after it went out, meaning he didn't hold it was muksa. And v'chiyik la'asur de Rav Yochanan lo ave metal tashraga. And when he went to Rav Yochanan's town, he didn't pick it up because Rav Yochanan held that it was muksa. So the Gemara says v'hai ma'kusha v'lo amrina mekamoshani. So the Gemara says, now again, what's the issue? We're two different towns, and once again, we all know that in two different towns, it's not a violation of losses go to do. Anan hachi kamrin and Rabbi Abba eche avid hacha hachi ve'eche avid. I'm sorry, eche avid hach eche avid hachi. Hacha, hachi, tongue twister. Vehecha havet hachi, hacha hachi. Okay, I'll do a better job in English, slightly better. So, how could he do it one way here and another way there? The it's one person, and the one person meaning in two different communities, so it's not a problem. Los is going to do fine, established. But one person, however, behaving two different ways in two different communities, you know, as the expression goes, when in Rome, do like the Romans. So over here, when in the town of Rav Yeshua and Levi, where they are more lenient in the world of Muksa, fantastic. Okay, I'm more lenient than the world of Muksa. So in other words, how can I have one person who is now vacillating? He's poseach hashnei ha-se'ifim. So Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Svirlei. Give me a second. So the so Rabbi Yoshua holds like, so as far as Rabbi Abba is concerned, the Gemara explains like this. His personal psak is that he holds like Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. And v'chimik la'lazer, Rabbi Yochanan la'ave metalta mishum kvoda de Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, good. Meaning that his own position is that he's mekel. Like Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Good. But when he's in the town of Rabbi Yochanan, he wants to show respect to Rabbi Yochanan. Out of respect for Rabbi Yochanan, so therefore he's going to conform to the practices of Rabbi Yochanan, who are going to be more machmir. Va'ika shama. So the Gemara says, yeah, but what about a shamish? Meaning that it's good for Rabbi Abahu, who is a Talmid Chacham, who is knowledgeable, who understands the dynamics and the mechanics of the various positions, knows what his own personal position is. Good. So that works out for him. But in other words, the shamish, and basically anyone who's tagging along with him, who doesn't understand what's happening over there. So he's looking. Oh, I see. When my Rebbe's here, he does this. When my Rebbe's there, he does that. And he's going to be confused. So the Gemara says, Demodele Lashama. In other words, okay, good. So a little bit of communication over here and education. So he explains to his shamish, here's my position in general. I'm more lenient in general. But when I'm in Rav Yochanan's community, so out of respect for Rav Yochanan, I'm going to practice like Rav Yochanan. Minag HaMakom. Good.
Can you really do this?
What?
Well, that's the practice. If you do where if it's more stringent in one place, then you, even if you don't hold by it.
Okay, so they're right. The fourth parakim psachim, right, explains that right, as you go from one place to another, so ein mishana mimnea machlokas. That's absolutely correct. And it could very well be that that's exactly his point over here, that when he's in Rav Yochanan's community, the Gemara is saying it more as a function of his kavod to Rav Yochanan. Okay, it could be one and the same point. Good. Tashma. Afa pishay lasrum veilam matirin. Lo nimnu beishamai melisa nashami beiselva lo beiselva me beishamai. Okay. So, let's reset because we are right now in the middle of a really big discussion. Meaning, we have an isser of lo sis go to do. Correct? Yeah. And we have limitations of that isser. But both beishamai and beiselva have their limits in terms of when it applies and when it doesn't apply. Okay. But we also know that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel were living in the same community and they were practicing different practices. Again, there is a sheet of Rav Yochanan, the sheet of Shmuel that we saw earlier this morning that said that Beit Shammai's position was not just limited to the Beis Medrash, it was out in the playing field. So they put into practice. So the Gemara now goes back to our Mishnah because our Mishnah says is that they intermarried amongst the two. Iyamar b'shama lo asu mishum hachilo nimnu. So, if you took the position of Reish Lakish and Rav, who said that it was only limited to the base medrash, I understand. Eliyam art also am I lo nimnu. So, but if you want to tell me that it was put into practice, so how could it possibly be that they intermarried? Bisham mi beisel lo nimnu de bnei chai velavin nimnu. So, I certainly understand from Beishamai's perspective. So, the women, the tsaris erva from Beis Hillel is a lav. Okay, it's not good, but the children that produced are not mamzerim. Ela beiselam beisham amai lo nimnu bnei chai v'krisus mamzerim ninhu. How could it be? How could it possibly be that if you are a student of Beis Hillel, the tzaras erva from Beis Shammai's perspective is an erva, and they're allowing these women now to get married and produce children? That's called mamzerim. And how can Beis Hillel's family marry in? Now, it's unfair from our perspective because I already shared with you the answer, meaning in the Mishnah, I quoted the Rashi. But Rashi knew our Gemara, so Rashi already gave it away. And the Gemara now for a moment is going to at least try to entertain, well, maybe it won't produce a mamzer. There is a shita. But it happens to be that there is a sheet out there that says that an Isser Karis does not produce a Mamzer. Only Chayve Mises Beisdin produces a Mamzer. But that's a sheet of Yachin. And that's not the sheet of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have the opinion that Isserei Karis produce Mamzerim. So that can't be the answer. So the Gemara says, okay, so must be that it never exited the base medrash. The machlokus was limited to the base medrash. The Gemara says, no, lo, lo lamasu, demodelu parshi. So the Gemara says, and again, we knew this answer because I shared with you Rashi yesterday, and I repeated it again at the beginning of Shir this morning. Good, so they informed one another. So Vahakinami Mustaba Diktani Sevakal Taros Vakal Tamesha Yu Ilamatam Velamatamim. Lo Nimnu Osim Taros Elo Algabe Elu. And remember, that makes the most sense. Because consider what we learned in the Mishnah. They borrowed Kalim from one another. Now they didn't agree on all aspects of Tumat Tahara, and yet they borrowed Kalim from one another, as we're now on the top of the Amud Beis. So if there was communication, so I understand how you could borrow Kalim. But you want to tell me that they borrowed Kalim without any communication? So Beis Shammai viewed Beis Shammai's Kalim as Tahor. Fine. So, but Ella Beis Shammai Beis Shammai Lama Lo Nimnu Taros Beis Shammai Beis Shammai Tameos Nimnu. But from Beis Shammai's perspective, the Kalim of Beis Shammai were Tame. And how could I borrow Kalim assuming they're Tahor when meanwhile, according to Beis Shammai, they're not? So Ella Lav Demo Duluhu Shmami Na. So the Gemara says, so there was communication between the two. So, umay, umay dahach mehach. And the Gemara now wants to know, okay, but let me ask you a simple question. In the Mishnah, so what did the Mishnah want to show us? Unity. Diversity, unity. In other words, they disagree, but they still not only got along, but in other words, they married each other's daughters and they shared Kalim with one another. And again, how did it work? It worked because there was communication. Great. The Gemara's question now is very simple. In the Mishnah wanted to give this illustration in one of two ways. They married each other's daughters, and they shared Kalim one with the other. And the Mishnah, and the way the Mishnah makes it sound like it is like, oh, the second point is proving the first point. The Gemara wants to now know, how's the second point proving the first point? Meaning, they're both basically the same point. My ume, and that's the Gemara's next question. Umay ume dahach mehach. So why is that one any better than the other? So ma detem batzara kalei islay kamash malan. Ah, because when we're talking about people, so obviously we shouldn't be talking about other people. It's called lashon hara. Okay. Okay, good. That was the muster shmuz of this morning. So we shouldn't be talking about other people, but lamaisa we do. Okay, I understand we shouldn't, but we do. So right. Okay, good. Okay, but in other words, right, for shiduchim purposes. Right,
you have to know.
So fine. So when it comes to unions and marriages, so kala islay. Okay. So in other words, it could be argued that there is clear communication between parties. But when it comes to kalim, like I'm talking about other people's kalim, right? Where we're sitting around. Hey, you wouldn't believe what happened to his kli. In other words, people don't talk about other people's kalim. So there now, they are sharing kalim. Ah, now you understand. The only way they could be sharing kalim is only if there was clear communication. Ah, you see, by the women, you could have made the argument that the communication wasn't clear, but people talk about it and people know. Ah, but once we're talking about kalim, that can only be done through clear communication. Okay. Shmamina. Okay. Agufa. Good. So this is a great stopping point. We're going to stop right over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick up with the words gufa. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem, we did good today. Okay, so let's quickly recap our daf today. So, Beis Shammai says that Saras Erva is mutter. That runs counter to everything we've been learning now for the last 2 weeks, because what we've been learning now for the last 2 weeks is Shita's Beis Hillel, which is obviously the accepted viewpoint. But there is a Shita Beis Shammai that Saras Erva is mutter. Question number one of today's daf, how do we know? Either it's a drasha or it's a svara. Okay, that was a lot of Gemara encapsulated in one sentence, and the svaras are complicated, but it's one of those two. Next, the Mishnah talks about various ramifications of Shitas Beis Shammai. What if I do chalitza with the tzaras erva? What if I do yibum with the tzaras erva? What becomes according to Beis Shammai? What becomes according to Beis Hillel? The Gemara is only bothered with the simple question of Shita, meaning it's just an application. We could have figured it out. So the Gemara says the reasons why the Mishnah pointed in, notably, to exclude from the position of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, which we'll talk about in tomorrow's daf. Good. Now, next, which is really the totality, the remainder of today's daf, which is really the entirety of today's daf, starting on the bottom of Yigim Omid Beis, and that is that Judaism cannot be practiced in two differing practices. In other words, there cannot be factionalism amongst the Jewish people. The Jewish people have to be representing one Torah. and a unified Torah. And so, and it's an issur in the Torah of losis godadu. How can the Megillah be legislated and read in 2 different days? Is the opening question of the Gemara's discussion over here. How can Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel not only disagree, but put into practice their disagreement of, according to Beit Hillel, Tzaras Erva is Aser with an Issur Kares. According to Beit Shammai, Tzaras Erva is Mutter. How can that be? Good. That's the Gemara's question. On the Megillah front, so the Gemara leaves that question open-ended. I would love to tell you, we're going to come back to that. I happen to know the Gemara is not going to come back to that. Okay, so if time will allow, I'll try to articulate answers for the Megillah. Anyway, so, but how is the Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, and Tzaras Erva not an issue of losis godadu? So we have limitations of the scope of losis godadu. We have Abai and we have Rava. Abai says that if I have 2 bate dinim in one town, that's an issue of losis godadu. But 2 bate dinim in 2 different towns, not issue of losis godadu. Rava says even further. Rava even further limits the scope of losis godadu. Notably, he says that if I have 2 separate bate dinim in one town, that's not a violation of losis godadu. As I mentioned earlier, that it really requires a lot of thought in terms of why that should be, but that's Rava. And Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai are 2 separate bate dinim. And then the larger question which we dealt with today is that this machlok between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai actually put into practice? I mean, the answer is very clear. The Gemara discussed it at length, but the conclusion of the Gemara is very clear. Yes, they put it into practice. Then how can the Mishnah tell us that they married each other's daughters? And the answer also is really clear, communication.